This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant EN Radio.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Creeping Death. I'm really not Creeping Death, but that's the official Easter Passover song of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Episode 478, if my math is right, and it's never right. My math is never right, but I think it is. Ladies and gentlemen, another episode dropping for you. I, as always, your gracious host, the Yoda of yesteryear, the Messiah of memories, the intellectual, retrosexual, the impact player, Mr. Philly Raya. And we got a lot to talk about this week because a lot of shit went down in the last couple days and whatnot. And the whatnots, it is Passover, so happy Passover to all my kosher peeps, all my kosher friends and family. We're about to embark on another Easter. If you're religious, have a great Easter. Hope you guys have a wonderful holiday weekend. And it's the start of spring break here in New York City for spring for public schools. So enjoy, teachers and students, enjoy your vacation. You got the next fucking week off. Well, now until next Sunday at least, anyway. Not, you know, it's crazy, but yep. So that means the there'll be less traffic on the road. The buses and cars will go smoother. Kids can do their thing. Parents, hope you guys have some nice vacations planned. A lot of masks are being undone now in New York City. I feel like the leash is a little loose in terms of the restrictions and stuff, you know. They're still making you wear masks, obviously, in certain places, medical facilities and stuff like that. But, you know, and schools and stuff like that too. So I mean, I feel like it's and then my place of work, which is a medical facility, dropped the mask if you're in administrative areas and you're not where patients are being taken care of and treated. So there you go. So we got a little bit of a handle on it. We're still getting COVID cases, though. Matter of fact, two of my colleagues just came back from COVID. So it is what it is, kids. What are you gonna do? What I'm going to do is we're going to talk some wrestling because we got a lot to talk about. And we got commercial breaks. We've added some shows to Shining Wizards Network, so we're going to hear some new plugs. So make sure you check out all the shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Tony will tell you in the commercials later what to do, and as well as the other shows. So shout out to all the other shows. And thank you very much for sharing your commercial breaks with us. We appreciate you. And we appreciate the plugs and the love and the support all the way from here to Canada. got a lot of two shows out of Canada. Shout out to Radioactive and Wrestling Night in Canada. You guys are crazy up there in Winnipeg, eh? Bunch of hosers. Anyway, all right. So, how did everybody enjoy last weekend? You know, thank you to Tony C again for jumping on with me last minute to talk some WrestleMania 9. Always appreciate Tony C from the rant. Tony C's always down. I got some stuff in the works with him and some other guys. It's just got to be planned out and executed because we're all grown-ups. We all got lives. What are you going to do, right? I want to give a shout-out to my boy Mike Norenganger of the Midnight Jury. Mike's got a new gig with the AA affiliate Hartford Yard Goats. They're AA affiliate of the Colorado Rockies. Mike does the Goat Gazette. Check him out on YouTube and on social media. You know, I'm glad Mike's taking a break from the politics and he's doing baseball, and baseball's a passion of mine as well, so I love that Mike's doing this, and Mike is really into it. He just recently interviewed the players and some management team there at the stadium, and it's a beautiful facility, and, you know, baseball in its roots, in its bare roots, down to from the minor leagues, it's special because a lot of these teams that are affiliated with Major League Baseball, they're in small communities and small cities, so like they don't have baseball where they are necessarily. Like, you know, Hartford's in the middle of New England, right? You got one team, which is the Red Sox, but you got several states that are in New England. You know, think about it. Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont. You got six states in the New England area. So six states for one team. I'm glad the Red Sox and the Rockies have some teams up there. Brockton and Pawtucket. And they got a couple of good teams up there, man. Same thing with hockey. They got the AHL. They said the Bruins have a Providence team. So shout out to all those teams doing their thing. And shout out to Mike for investing some more content into baseball, not just wrestling. We're expanding, kids. We have other interests, you know? I'm happy for Mike. So shout out to Mike, and he's doing his thing. Go support him and subscribe to Ghost Gazette on YouTube and on social media. He's very active on Twitter. So hit up Mike. Tell him I sent you. You'll get nothing but love. That's it. You're not getting a prize. So the prize is love, kids. The prize is love. So how did everybody enjoy last weekend? I did. A lot of stuff went down. You know, shout out to Rob. He hosted all of us at his place. And I got it was a long day, man. I didn't get home till like after 1 a.m. But one night where I didn't have to host, it was cool. And we had a good time. So shout out to Rob and his crew, and he did his thing. But either way, we had a good time, and then I spent the next night watching Mania at home, and then all the shit went down, so we're going to get right into it. So we'll talk about night one first and foremost. Now, a lot of people are not too happy with the two night format, right? I happen to like it. I also happen to feel that it'll showcase more guys and girls. And even though it's two nights, you're gonna see a lot more talent's gonna get, you know, they're gonna get paid. You know? They're gonna get paid. They're gonna get paid like lemonade, and they're gonna enjoy what they're doing, and you give these guys and girls a platform and they're gonna excel. Let's get right into night one. All right, shall we? The show opens up with Austin Theory defeating John Cena to retain the United States Heavyweight Championship. I must tell you, this was supposed to happen. Anybody thought John Cena was coming in here to win the U.S. title is ridiculous. I'm glad that Cena agreed to come in and do this for Austin Theory. I think Theory is the future, one of the future guys in this company, and he's been a top-tier talent that's waiting to blossom for a couple of years now. He went from being Johnny Gargano's lackey in NXT and up in the main roster to now. So That belt is disgusting. It's ugly, but it's still the U.S. championship. It's got a lot of nice lineage. A lot of nice heads held that title. And, you know, Snoop Dogg and The Miz were entertaining. We'll get into that in a few minutes because night two, there's some stuff that went down. But, you know, they, listen, Cena makes the comeback, locks the STF. The referee was knocked out, rough ref bump, you know. No one saw Theory tap out, of course, and then Theory nails his he hits a low blow, then his finisher for the win. So, was it a WrestleMania moment? For Austin Theory, it was. I must tell you though, the stage looked amazing. Cena looked a little bit slow, but then again, he's up there in age and doesn't wrestle very often, and they still gave him his props and gave him the Make-A-Wish record video and whatever, but either way. These showcase matches, I don't like the way they call them showcase matches. Stop having these fucking 4-man, 8-man, 10-man gimmicks. Like, just make matches. You have 2 nights. Make matches. Don't give me 5 multi-tag matches or 3-man or 4-ways. Ridiculous. It was the second match of the night. The showcase was Ricochet and Braun Strowman versus the Viking Raiders and Alpha Academy. Versus, what do you call it? Who's the other team in there? Was it the, oh God, Jesus, Street Profits? So, yeah, the crowd was hot. It was all right. Montez Ford and Dawkins were able to score the pin. A little unexpected, but it was the right call. Street Profits are, we mentioned Montez Ford last week. I can't talk enough about him, so I don't have enough time. But, you know, can we retire that Tower of Doom fucking spot where there's like 3 or 4 guys on each other's shoulders and one guy does, and then the move from the top rope? Can we stop that, please? Can we stop it? Like, it doesn't even look good anymore. And on top of that, no one's really getting hurt because they're all padded from being on top of each other. And then the guy who does it, he's claiming he's hurt too. Stop. All right, your next match I enjoyed, Logan Paul versus Seth Rollins. I'm not a big Logan Paul guy, but, you know, they call him the Maverick now too. Ugh. But he's trying, and he's not giving himself any flaws in terms of his performance. He's getting better and better every match. I don't know why they keep giving him these top matches. They should let him work a couple of Raws or SmackDowns or do something. Like, they just keep throwing him in these like main event caliber type matches, and it's like, unless you're doing something with him, makes no sense. But Seth Rollins did score the win. You know, he did. I mean, he did the stomp, and he did the pedigree, and you know, it was good. It was a really good match. There was really nothing wrong with the match, unless Seth Rollins would have lost. You know, the zip line thing I could do without. He's not Shawn Michaels. Let's be honest here. The stupid fucking energy drink bottle mascot. We all thought it was R-Truth. It was KSI. The conductor thing, the ring entrance for Rollins was fantastic. The Logan Paul does do a nice slingshot lariat. He did it the last time in his last match. He did it better this time. And he also looked like an X-Men, one of the X-Men with that fucking ring gear he had on. And he did a top rope moonsault. Jumping top rope moonsault. So, again, Logan Paul doing his thing. You're wasting him, though. Damage control against Lita, Becky, and Trish Stratus. We knew the face team was going to win. It felt a little clunky at times, but, you know, Lita looked terrible. No disrespect to all you Lita fans. She hasn't been in the ring full time in several years. Now she's a tag team champion. They can't be at that level that we wanted them to be 20 years ago. But they made her a champion too. Like but the match is a bit clunky. The face team should have won. They did. Let's see. Any notes here I took here? The fake thong that Lita had was kind of funny because we know it wasn't real, right? Trish can still bump, and she's still hot. So, and Lynch and Bayley always have good exchanges, so that was fun to watch too. But it was still a bit clunky. This was interesting. Dominic Mysterio versus his dad, Rey, Hall of Famer. The Hall of Fame, really quick with the Hall of Fame. The speeches were great. Conan killed it. Muda killed it. Stacey Keibler was inducted by Tori Wilson and Mick Foley. That was cool. And Andy Kaufman's family was accepted the award on his behalf. Jimmy Hart inducted him. And so did Jerry King Lawler via satellite because Lawler is still recovering from a stroke. So, but anyway, Dominic comes out with a police escort in a corrections facility van in lockup. He was in lockup longer than I was detained as a teenager in the police precinct, which wasn't very long. So that's another podcast. But listen, for only the second time in WrestleMania history, father and son fight. Do we know who the first father and son were? Shane and Vince, of course. We'll get into Shane on the next night because he made a boo-boo. But all right, I do dog Dominic a lot. But this was a good match. You know, he held his own. He threw a drink in his hot sister's face at ringside. His sister's cute, man. A big fat ass, too. And Rey had to hold it back. So he took advantage of that, attacked his dad. Here comes Damian Priest and Finn Balor at ringside. Dom begins to take control. They interfere to help Dom with distractions. But the LWO, a.k.a. Legado del Fantasma, ran into the ring and took care of Judgment Day. And then Bad Bunny stopped Dominic from using a chain that Dominic had, allowing Ray to hit the 619 and score the win. So now you'll probably see the Backlash tag match with Damian Priest and Dominic against Bad Bunny and Rey Mysterio because the next pay-per-view was in Puerto Rico, which is the shining star of the Caribbean and the home of Bad Bunny. Not a bad match. Bad Bunny did commentary with the Spanish commentary team. The video did make Dom look like a hardened criminal. That was pretty hilarious. There was a Cinnamon Toast Crunch mascot at ringside. Enough with the fucking mascots. Stop. The biggest stage, man. They grossed 160,000 plus people for 2 days in California. Why do we have to have these mascots in costume at ringside? Put them in the back. If you're going to make segments, do something. Let them hang out in the crowd. Let them greet the fans. You know, it's a long day. The spanking part with Rey, though, with the belt on Dominic, that was hysterical. So, this match was the main event, and it kicked ass. The co-main event. I apologize. Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley, they went balls out, and there was no balls involved in this match at all. It was two beautiful girls. Women, I should say. It was fantastic. They both kicked out of each other's finishes. Ripley was able to hit the Riptide from the middle rope to finally put Charlotte away. The middle rope she hit the Riptide from to become the new SmackDown Women's Champion. The match was great. Ripley looked great. Charlotte's jacket looked like she could have been a double as a lifeboat. Okay, that German suplex Ripley hit when Charlotte was on the top turnbuckle. That was an awesome spot, too, man. And then Charlotte lands flat on her face. Oof. And we think Ripley chipped a tooth. I'm not sure, but when you see her smiling toward the end, I had to play it back. She might have. Night one would have been an A++++ perfectly booked, perfectly good card for Mania. One of the best Manias in the last 20 years if they didn't bring Pat McAfee out to fight The Miz. Why? You want a moment? Bring Pat McAfee out to the commentator's table. Bring Pat McAfee out to talk shit to The Miz while he's commentating. Build this up. You gonna bring him in and then fight? It was stupid. And as Jimmy Norton would say, it stinks and I don't like it. So I just don't like it. And it made a card into a B card. So that's how I feel about that. And, you know, so Pat McAfee wins, blah, 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 bathroom break match. Michael Cole's enthusiasm was a little over the top, too, you know. I don't know. And then the main event, of course, the Usos versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens for the WWE Tag Team Championship. So in order for storyline purposes, I knew that Sami Zayn and Kevin were going to win. The match was great. In-ring action, storytelling, all four guys were absolutely masterful. Selling all the big spots. There were people in the crowd crying. I played that back. I couldn't believe it. I read it, and I was like, no way. And I played it with people. As Zayn and Owens hugged in tears, whatever. They, you know, perfect way to end the night. I was hoping would at main event. We thought Charlotte was going to main event with Rhea Ripley. Stinker 2 was this little Uzi guy. He performed for a minute before the Usos made their debut. I mean, the ring entrance. But does little Uzi do their song of the Usos? I'm not sure. I had to look. It didn't make sense to me. The kid needed to pull his pants up. He needs a belt. Could barely understand him. How about Zayn and Owens putting the matching PWG gear, paying homage to their former promotion out from California? Okay, how dope was that? Kevin Owens is a fantastic tag team wrestler too. Because he has that Ricky Morton hot tag, spot, right? His frog splash is dope. He should actually help Dominic with that a little bit. And how about Jey Uso with the using the Helluva kick against Sami Zayn? That was a great moment, huh? How about that? That was some shit right there, huh? I loved it. I loved all of that. And it was a good ending to night one. Let's get right into night number two. And, a lot of things went down. So, all right, before I even get into night two, earlier in the day, there was rumors being dropped on social media that the WWE has sold 51% of their company to the Endeavor Entertainment Company, which owns Ultimate Fighting Championship, for like $9 billion, which was almost $5 billion more than what George Lucas sold Star Wars to Disney for, right? Neither here or there, but now they joined forces to form this huge sports entertainment conglomerate. Now, it wasn't confirmed until later on the next day, next morning, I should say. But it was to the point where by the time WrestleMania 2, the night 2 ended, the fans were, media were asking at the press conference, you know, like Triple H, and people were just, they were like, no selling it. So, either way, we'll talk about that in a minute because I have a point to make. Let's get into some of these matches, okay? Your opening match was Brock Lesnar versus Omos. It was a filler. The Beast Incarnate, he could have easily sandbagged Mr. Omos, but he worked hard to put him over and then eked out a win. So it's a solid start, but it just, I didn't see Omos winning. And if he would have won, that would have been fucking tragic for Brock Lesnar, especially with the night after, and I'll get into that in a few minutes. This was Lesnar's 12th Mania match, by the way. Michael Cole was a little over the top these two nights particularly. So I don't know. He was putting almost over like he was Andre the Giant. So another showcase match, great. Getting so this again, I applaud what they're trying to do,
But you can get some singles matches out of these, too. Raquel Rodriguez, Liv Morgan versus Natty and Shotzi, Chelsea Green, who had her WrestleMania moment finally, and Sonya Deville and Ronda Rousey made up the field of combatants. The finish was very lackluster at best. I knew Rousey and Baszler, for story purposes, were going to win, popping up at the end. The ending was terrible. There's really no clear direction for anyone outside of the two girls, and hence why I don't like these showcase gimmicks. You know what I'm saying? I like Liv Morgan. A couple notes here. I like Liv Morgan. Shotzi did her toupee suicida. I like that move. She does the double sliced bread with Natty, too. Natty, double sharpshooter. Again, like, just a couple of spots were cool. Fun match tonight, though, the triple threat for the IC title. Gunther defending against Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. They did not disappoint. They beat the ever-living snot out of each other. It was ridiculous. This might have been the top match of the night. Gunther and Sheamus had chemistry from their last singles meeting. McIntyre and Sheamus did too, but the three of them together, I personally thought it was going to, like, oh, this might be like the three alpha males, and they can all work against each other, but not in a three-way, and I didn't think it was going to work, but it did. And Gunther just showed his shit, and he was the man. He did the whole ring general entrance with Imperium. Sheamus did like 30 those arm thingies he does on McIntyre. At one point, Gunther was in the corner. McIntyre tossed Sheamus over the head into Gunther. That was pretty cool. But it was again like a couple of finishes that were kicked out of. You know, so anyway, it was a good match. And my favorite match so far of the night. The next match wasn't bad either. The Raw Women's Title, Bianca Belair defending against Asuka. Both had great ring entrances, especially Bianca. Well, Asuka did hers with the Kabuki masks and all the. She had like a row of girls with the mask on, and including her, and she had this blue and white face paint. It was pretty sick, but she's dope anyway. Bianca had like a girls, a stomping girl. I forgot what they call it. They do it a lot in the black colleges. They like the stomping, and the stomping of the feet, clapping the hands. Like, it's a whole routine they have. And there was one little girl who was awesome, and she killed it. And her mom had died that day, and the little girl still wanted to go and perform for Bianca, which brought Triple H to tears at the press conference, which was pretty cool. So shout out to that little girl and her family and condolences. But it looked like a stomp movie. It looked like something that Nick Cannon would have been in, you know? And the girls were just amazing. The choreography was dope. They could dance. It was pretty cool. And the match itself was good. At one point, the Empress of Tomorrow did do her Muda Mist. But she ducked out of it. And Bianca Belair is 3-0 at WrestleMania, and she's been champion for a year. So 30 years old, she's killing it, man. Started a little late in life in terms of wrestling, but she's right on time, in my opinion. It was the Divas of Compton. That was the name of the group. I wrote this down. I should have scrolled up my screen here. At one point, Corey Graves said, whatever Belair throws at her, Asuka takes it and smiles. And, you know, it was a good match, though. I enjoyed it. I really did. All right. So this is another, like, the night would have been perfect, except they throw some stupid shenanigans in there. So we know Miz and Snoop Dogg are hosting, second night in a row. They start talking smack to each other. Here comes Shane McMahon. The crowd goes bananas. Because now, night one, The Miz had a deal with Pat McAfee. And they were like, well, you know, he's like, I'm not doing this again. And it was, so Snoop's like, I'm not asking you, like, I'm telling you. And brought out Shane McMahon. Shane was, like I said, the pop was crazy. He tried doing a leapfrog and tore his knee while doing a leapfrog. Snoop did the good looking out, basically pulled an audible, delivered a terrible people's elbow to beat The Miz and put an end to the segment. It was, why couldn't Bobby Lashley get a match on this card instead? Right? Why? He wins the Battle Royal. He comes out at one point during the weekend with the trophy. You couldn't have Bobby Lashley come out and squash him. You had to have Shane McMahon. No disrespect to Shane. And I'm not a Bobby Lashley guy at all. Like, I'll advocate when I'll give Bobby his due diligence. But, yo, like, really? You know? So Snoop beats The Miz, and it was just a fucking terrible segment, okay? But just, again, the only bright spot on this was Snoop doing the audible, which I thought was cool. He's a true entertainer. Hell in a Cell. Oh, my goodness. Hell in a Cell, guys. Edge versus Finn Balor. Edge comes out to fucking Slayer. He comes out to South of Heaven, guys. Are you serious now with this nonsense? With the Brood outfit, the whole nine yards. Finn Balor comes out as the Demon. There was at one point, this is the culmination of an almost year feud, right? But, again, like, you know how it goes. The heel is always dominant in these cage matches, you know. But the Demon, Finn Balor, was up early and often. And then got hit with a ladder. And can I tell you the gash he got in his head? He definitely had to get staples. He was busted. It looked like a cartoon. His head was split in the middle almost. But it was cool. Edge did go over. But I don't know. I guess the gutsiness of Finn Balor for his finishing, because the match would have been perfect if they didn't bring somebody in, like a doctor, to look at him, like, because he was bleeding a lot. Like, I get it, but you're in a fucking Hell in a Cell. Like, was he losing that much blood? No, he wasn't. Like, if he was losing that much blood, it would have been visible, A, and B, his performance would have sucked. But they stopped the match almost, and it was like, oh. It took the wind out of all that buildup with Finn getting the upper hand for a minute, and then Edge coming back with him with the ladder spot. It was shitty, kind of, you know, whatever. It's still a special attraction, but, you know, why do it more than once? It was a booking snafu, and I'll use that word. And I'm being nice. I liked most of the match, but it was a booking snafu. But again, Slayer. You know, I'm sorry. And Slayer. That's all I have to say. Slayer. And finally, your main event for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship: Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. The pomp, circumstance, the emotion, all there. Cody's entrance, his family's at ringside. Brody Lee's kids at ringside with them. You know, Roman comes out without the Usos. It was tense, you know. They, you know. So, at one point, it felt like the air was sucked out of the arena. Right. It was so, you know, you have to understand something. It was so Rhodes hits the Bionic Elbow, homage to Big Papa, and adds the drop down uppercut, which is done by Dustin Rhodes. So he did all his family's moves, whatever, right, and then delivered the Crossroads. And at that point, we thought he was going to win the title. And then here comes Solo Sikoa, who was thrown out earlier from ringside for interference, and then delivered the Samoan spike. Reigns does spear Rhodes. The ref counts three, and 80,000 fans was silent. 80,000 fans. It was almost like you can hear a pin drop at SoFi Stadium. Opportunities such as this that present itself on Sunday were to create top-level like talent, and it's supposed to alter the course of the scene, of the storyline. That did not come around often, and it has to be done. They whiffed, basically. It's like a, you know, like a baseball player. I'm using another baseball reference. But they whiffed. Roman Reigns is still the champion. In ring, the match was flawless, right? Which brings me to the next night. Well, before that, I like the whole who owns the island of relevancy that Paul Heyman said. He's like, they pay for you. They pay for you. That was cool. And of course, the Usos coming in finally, and then Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, you know, cutting them off and doing their thing. But brings me to night two. Okay. So now it's finally announced. Endeavor was acquired by, acquires WWE like $9.3 billion. CNBC drops it again, you know, and then Triple H comes out to address the crowd on Raw. I got to sit down for this because, second, on Raw, and all of a sudden, now, it's, you're like, all right, you will not go nowhere, and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, in other words, what you read today is just an acquisition. Like, basically, he's just telling the crowd, whatever happened today, don't worry about it. Whatever happened today, don't worry about it. Because we're still going to be here, we're still going to do our thing. And what happens? Roman comes out, Cody comes out, Cody wants his rematch, blah, 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 blah. And then it turns into a tag match, Solo and Roman. But who's going to be Cody's partner? He's by himself, really. You know, Cody didn't really make a lot of friends since he's been back. I mean, he feuded with Seth Rollins and then he got hurt. Rollins already had his match. He's, you know, he's chilling, right? And he really can't tag with Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn because now they're a tag team, and you know, and the Usos aren't there. So now what? Who comes out? Brock Lesnar. Now, at first, I'm like, okay, what are they going to do, though? Like, after Roman retains the title, it's over 900 days, and we've talked, me and Tony and I spoke about this last week on episode 477. Like, what can they possibly do with him? Everybody's crying Cody should have won. So, you know, the bloodline's already without this. His cousins lost the tag straps. You know, I would have booked it as him losing, and then they would have fell apart. Or having Roman retain and then the Usos turning on him the night before. Leaving Jay, who was one of the last guys to actually beat Roman, go after his cousin for the title. It tells us, I mean, again, I'll be taking some shine away from Cody. But let's face it, I'm all about telling stories. And I'm not trying to disrespect, you know, I'm not trying to disrespect Cody, or I'm not trying to cut him off, but it just tells a better story that Jay would go after Roman for the title, right, and be successful. I mean, you'd break up the Usos for a little while and give Jay that shine, but I think he earned it. Let's be honest here, boys and girls, you know. But no, that don't happen because during this tag match, Brock fucking turns on Cody and beats the snot out of him. So now again, I'm thinking, now they're going to distract Cody with Brock? They're going to throw Brock at Cody and have a feud with that? So Roman can, maybe on SmackDown tonight? Because now Triple H is going to address the crowd again tonight. because people are panicking. Because apparently Vince was involved in the production of Raw the night after Mania. And it has Vince's stank all over it. His porn star mustache and all. Like, what are you doing, man? You can't come out and tell the crowd it's going to be okay and then book that trash at the end of the night. You can't. Because you're insulting the intelligence of the fans, of the fan base who loves and follows us religiously. Right? At one point, what are you going to do? I'm telling you right now, though, if they throw Brock at Cody and distract Cody for a little while, they better break up the bloodline. They better break up the bloodline, and that's all I'm saying. Because if they don't, this is all wasted. Because you could still have Cody go after the title after he beats Roman. Give Roman some time off. He's been champion for almost 3 years at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to, like, who's going to beat Roman Reigns? They've thrown everybody at him. Every single top star in the company, they brought guys back. They brought guys back a couple of times over. Brock Lesnar. He's beaten everybody. What are you possibly going to do with him now? Don't blame COVID. Don't blame the shitty arena sales, house show sales. Don't blame the low pay-per-view buys because everybody has the Peacock now. Don't blame any of that shit. Don't blame AEW, okay, for ratings. Don't blame any of that shit, okay? This is plain and simple pro wrestling 101 storytelling. That's all. Tell me a story. Make me intrigued. I know I'm over the demographic now, over the main demographic. I don't fit the demographic. I don't fit the criteria. I'm an older fan. Get off my lawn. I'm the old man now, okay? But I still love it, and I still follow it, and I still want to see stories, and I want to see superstars being made. Because this is the only time in wrestling that these promotions have enough talent to take them to the next 20. You can write 20 years of stories with these guys, barring injury or, God forbid, death. Guys take better care of themselves. Guys are sticking around longer. Girls stick. Now the girls are being showcased more. The women are being showcased more. I keep saying girls. I'm sorry. They're women. I know. I don't mean to offend anybody, but it's just how I speak. Okay. But the women are being showcased more now. People. It's not like my era where people were like, these guys are being built up and then they die in their 30s because they couldn't take care of themselves, and they try really hard to they beat their bodies up to stay relevant and to stay on the road. And didn't help them at all. And now they're dead. You know? You're at a good time in your life if you're a wrestling fan. To be a fan is, right now in this day and age, is ridiculously fun. Because no matter what wrestling you watch, there's fun everywhere. If you're into the strong style. You know, if you're into the King's Road in Japan. If you're into Joshi. If you're into deathmatch nonsense. If you're into cruiserweights, high flyers, if you're into hybrid stuff with like the MMA and the grappling, if you're into that shit, if you're into good wrestling and bad wrestling that has good spots in it like this, you are in luck. But guys, please, come on, man. They got to do something. They have to clean this up tonight. They have to clean it up tonight. I'm begging Triple H. Just keep that at home. Keep that at home. You just made a $9 billion. Stay home. There's no need for you to be there anymore, Vince. There's no need. Good luck on your future endeavor, man. Good luck on your endeavor. Notice I didn't make it plural because you see what I did there, right? Good luck on your future endeavor. Stay the fuck home, man. Please, do me a favor. Like, you're not doing anybody a favor by implementing stupid shit where these poor schmucks who have to write stuff like, oh, great, here comes Vince again. All right, don't, man. Don't cut your nose off to spite your face. Don't allow this merger, this multi-billion dollar merger, you know, to take away from anything. When Marvel merged with Disney, people were like, oh, great, the Muppets are going to fight Wolverine. Or when Star Wars merged, oh, man, the Muppets are going to fight Darth Vader. It doesn't work like that. You can merge and keep your image. You can keep the integrity of the product. You think George Lucas is going to sell to Disney for $4.5 billion and have Yoda and the Muppets team up? You know? No. You know what you're going to get? Years upon years upon years of just extended content from that particular genre. I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying Jon Favreau's Mandalorian. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed all of their miniseries with Boba Fett. And Marvel did their thing with their miniseries and now the next phase of movies. Disney's putting it out there. They don't have a stank on it so much. And let me address this too with UFC. Like, I know some of my constituents are now really convinced, if they weren't convinced before, that UFC is fixed. You're delusional. No disrespect to my rant, guys. I love you. You're my brothers. But you're fucking delusional, okay? Mixed martial arts is not fixed. What I'll tell you is fixed is how they promote it, how they book it. Because you have guys who were undefeated, never got title shots, but they put the more popular person in that person's spot, and that's how guys got pushed. Okay, that part I think is you know, fake, quote unquote fake. I have friends involved in mixed martial arts. I know friends who practice jiu-jitsu. I'm telling you for a fact that shit is not fake. Okay, no one's doing a job getting their faces and their limbs caved in. I'm sorry. WWE and UFC will be two separate entities under one banner of endeavor. There's no reason, there's no need for them to cross-pollinate. You want to promote, cross-promote. I mean, how many times have you seen WWE guys at UFC shows and vice versa? Undertaker's a huge fan. I've seen him at a lot of cards. Especially when Brock was in it. I saw John Cena. I saw Roman Reigns. There's a bunch of guys that go to the UFC fights. Actors, actresses, athletes. They all go to these matches. And they all come to WWE. George Kittle was involved in WrestleMania. I forgot to mention that. Former 49ers tight end. Huge wrestling fan. Like, knows his shit. Like, could be a guest on Turnbuckle Throwbacks and talk smack with me if he wanted to. He's that good of a fan. Okay? You might see him in the ring after his career. See, he'll give it a go because he loves it that much. Walks around with a championship belt. He thinks he's hot shit, but he's a fan. But how many times rappers and entertainers are always at these things? You don't have to have UFC guys fight. I mean, this is the anniversary. Today's the anniversary of Dan Severn making his WWE in-ring debut, and this was. Right after was it right after or before he won the NWA title, which really wasn't relevant at that point. But all I'm saying is that these billionaire companies under one banner can coexist. And Disney is the proof. Because Disney owns my entire childhood. They own Star Wars. They own Marvel. They own the Muppets. You know, that's my childhood from 1983 to now, because I'm still a child. You know what I'm saying? This is not, you know, this can be something. You know, it's only been less than a week. It's been 6 days. So let's, officially, so let's, you know, see what happens. Let's breathe. All right, let's finish out the Mania Backlash, not the pay-per-view, the Backlash from WrestleMania tonight on SmackDown. SmackDown needs to come correct. SmackDown needs to clean up the spill that was Raw on Monday. They can listen. Redemption is everything. And redemption or being an underdog or revenge all make good stories. All of it. Especially like the redemption. You lose, you're beaten, you're broken, you're beat down. You're at wit's end. You don't know what to do. You fight, you claw, you scratch your way back to the top, and the fans will get behind you. Or you've been mistreated by a family member or a partner or a manager, and you finally know your worth. You've had enough. You're done kissing this guy or girl's ass. You're done. I want what's coming to me. I want the championship. I want to be head of the table. I want to be the king on the island of relevancy. And that's where they should go. Make these guys work for it. Roman earned it. He kept a spot. He was phenomenal at it. One of the best guys to do it in a very, very, very long time. And I'm comparing him to CM Punk's run. I'm comparing it to Bruno's run. Different eras, but same relevancy. It was those guys were the most talked about, and so was he. He did his thing. But not only would it be cool to give one of his constituents a shot at a good story and a championship, but they're real life related. You can pull real emotion from this. How dope is that? We're so lucky to have that if that happens. Because none of you guys are putting your real shit out there when you're fighting with your family. You know? No one wants to see that. Unless it tells a good story. No, it normally ends in you being taken away in cuffs because you're a maniac. Or your counterpart's a maniac. But you see my point. I'm just being silly at that point. But you see my point otherwise, though. Like, you see my point. This has to happen. Or else Roman's last year and change with this bloodline gimmick storyline and Sami Zayn and all that shit is irrelevant on the island of relevancy. And how ironic is that? That you've worked up this whole angle and you're on the island of relevancy, but the current story is irrelevant because it doesn't make sense. Unless the turmoil within the family has to happen. And here's the bonus. Solo gets his shine if this happens. Because now you get a series of matches with Solo against Jimmy, Solo against Jay, Solo against anybody who's got a championship, a singles title, a Theory or a Gunther or somebody. How dope would that be? Gunther versus Solo for the IC title. Oof. Two big slabs of beef there, you know? But anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking with it. We're going to take a commercial break and plug our friends, and then we're going to come back and talk some AE dubs and Ring of Honor, because that's how, you know, it's all current stuff this week. No throwback this week. I'm working on some throwbacks. So I hope you guys enjoyed that long-winded WWE segment. It was a week coming. I planned for this. I truly did. I promise you. I took notes this time, more notes than I usually take. So let's take a break. Let's plug our friends, and we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, episode 478 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We will be right back. Lord Alfred Hayes, take us to the break, homie.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Get a G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Broadcast Podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Broadcast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AEW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil J. and that pain in the ass, Choppy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to MJF Day. I am your host with the most, the devil himself, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF. And right now, we are here to celebrate the most important day of all, MJF Day, and we're celebrating it live in the most magical place in the world known as Long Island. And you know what? It's so magical here in Long Island that when it rains, it does not simply just rain water. No, no, it rains pennies from heaven. Hit it!
Oh my God.
And every time it rains, it rains.
Pennies from heaven.
Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Make sure that your umbrella is upside down. And train them for a package of sunshine and ravioli. If you want the things you love, you must have a piece only, baby. And when you hear thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
don't you know it's cloud contains? And every time it rains, it rains. And don't you know it's cloud contains? You'll find your fortune falling. All over town, all over town, all over town. Make sure that your umbrella is upside down, dribbly bop. A heiser who's a hoodoo white. Inga laga hoogly. A zumba loop, a zumba loot. Oh, bobbly boys, oh. Hey, baba, ho, boy.
Jeff is channeling Louis Prima. For those who know.
Or care.
Well, that's a giant test. It's a little much.
Pennies from heaven, pennies from heaven. I said a pennies from heaven for you and me.
Yes.
The car, I'll meet you out there, and he won't be done.
Shut up, Excalibur. No one cares. The best heel in the friggin' business, singing Louis Prima on his night in his town. I'm sorry. That was fantastic. Episode 478 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's Philly Ray. We're back in the fold. Second part of the show. Just give a... I loved it. I didn't get to watch this from the beginning because I was going to work. Coming home from work. And it is what it is. But listen, it's... That was fun. And I'll get into AEW in a second because I just wanted to play that song. It was fantastic. I'll get into AEW. But first, I wanted to just go over real quick the Supercard. From Ring of Honor. It was very, very good. Tanahashi came in and had a great match with Daniel Garcia. One of my new favorite wrestlers, El Hijo del Vikingo, or Vikingo, whatever you want to call him, he defeated Commander with a K and retained the AAA Mega Championship, or as Rob would say, the championship doesn't make a difference. But I either way, I think it's cool. The Lucha Brothers... Oh, your new Ring of Honor tag team champions. They had the Reach for the Sky ladder match. They defeated the Kingdom. Aussie Open, my new favorite tag team right now in wrestling. Top Flight, Rush and Drillistico. It was a good, great match. Unfortunately, though, one of the kids in Top Flight really wrecked, got hurt like bad. Like Sid Vicious bad, wrecked his leg in there. So hopefully he already had surgery. He's recovering. He's doing really good. So shout out to them. And that team has no luck. First, his brother gets hurt and is out, and then now he gets hurt. They have no luck, these kids. So I'm hoping Dixie Khan does the right thing and gives them a nice little push when they get back together. The Embassy defeated AR Fox, Blake Christian, who I love right now, and Metalik to retain Ring of Honor six-man championships. I thought they were going to lose the Embassy because there was some rumors circulating of Brian Cage doing the JOB and going to WWE. So I don't know. I guess they scraped it. I don't know. Maybe he's not going right away. I don't know. And, of course, my wish came to fruition. Finally, an amazing Japanese competitor won a prestigious title and won a significant match on American soil. He didn't do the JOB. So the wrestler himself, Katsuyori Shibata, defeated Wheeler Yuta for the Ring of Honor Pure Championship. Shibata is a fucking gem. He's a gem. Watch his matches. You'll be in awe. The guy can go. The King of TV, Samoa Joe, retained his Ring of Honor Championship, defeated Mark Briscoe with Mark's family at ringside. Very emotional match. Both guys, obviously, Ring of Honor talents for a very long time. They know each other. They're friends. So you know when you're friends with somebody, it makes it for a better match. And Joe and Mark Briscoe tore it up. So, and again, Mark is far from done. He's, you know, it's right now he's got to be going through some shit emotionally. He just lost his brother, you know, and it's like he went right back into the game again. So I'm hoping he finds his way, and I'm hoping he can have like a nice little run before he wraps his career up. Athena retained the Women's Ring of Honor Championship, defeating Yuka Sakazaki. That was a solid match. And, of course, the main event, Claudio, the Kazdek Noli from the you know, that stupid club he's a part of, he retained against Eddie Kingston. Another two guys that don't like each other in storyline. And you know, again, this, I wanted Eddie to win, but, again, if it tells a good story, I don't mind, you know? So, of course, right after this is going on, right after Mania weekend, Tony Khan, a.k.a. Dixie Khan, good old DK, who looks like he's on cocaine, but that's another story, he decides he's going to have another announcement. Make a big announcement before Wednesday's show, which is, like I just played in Long Island, home of the Icelanders, the new U.S., the UBS Arena. And not too far from where he grew up in Plainview, Strong Island. Shout out to all my Strong Island peeps, you know, and all my Queens in Brooklyn. So I had some Staten Island heads over there, too. So a lot of guys went to the show. I had to work. I couldn't go. But with that being said, there's an announcement. We're thinking it's the video game. It's not. Tony Khan announces with Adam Cole, Bay, that they're bringing all in the original pre-AEW pay-per-view that I was a part of. They're bringing it to Wembley Stadium, August 27th. Okay, so your first reaction is, why? Well, we've been screaming it for years that the UK, our UK brothers and sisters over across the pond, are amazing wrestling fans. They also have amazing talent that wrestles there or has come here. And speaking of UK talent, they brought Nigel McGuinness back, eh? Because he was doing the pay-per-view commentary for Ring of Honor, and now he's All Elite. How about that? So Nigel McGuinness was part of the announcement, too. So all this Ring of Honor alum bringing it back full circle. TK, DK, whatever you want to call him, is surrounding himself with some good people, and they're bringing it to Wembley. So now your first reaction is, oh, well, from what I heard from folks that I'm close to, how do you do that? Why would you do that your first time in England? Why don't you do an arena first? Why? You've already established yourself as the number two company in the world right now. You're selling merchandise off the chain. You're signing people in left and right. You have two shows now, not counting YouTube and not counting this all-access shit after Dynamite. Your brand is flourishing. The UK deserves better American, you know, companies to go over there. I know the WWE is doing it. They're doing a card in a couple of months, right? They do a Money in the Bank or something like that, right? We mentioned that a couple weeks ago. But now what? Wembley Stadium, 90,000. Stop comparing it to SummerSlam. It's not SummerSlam of 92. Totally different vibe. You're not selling out any stadiums right now unless you're WWE and it's a big event. Like WWE, the only time they're selling out stadiums is at WrestleMania. And they did that just a week ago with the highest grossing Mania of all time. 160,000 people. 160,000 people. Can AEW pack 90K in there? Nah. 50K maybe? Dare I say 60K? I would love to see it. Oh, they're going to have to bring the tarps out. I've heard that a few times too on social media. Who gives a shit? It's a legendary fucking venue, and our UK brothers and sisters get to go there and enjoy American wrestling. Okay? How about that shit? How about being positive about it? Okay? How about that? Jay White is All Elite. So he made it. I thought that was the surprise. I'm like, that's the announcement? Please, no. Because at that point, I wasn't watching it. I'm en route home from work on the bus, and my text messages would not stop exploding. And I'm like, please don't ruin this for me. I'm trying to go home. And I didn't want to ignore the text messages, but, you know, how can you when you guys talking to you? You want to ignore your friends.
But they still don't realize that I'm not home yet, so they don't give a shit. So they don't know that I get home on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. So I missed the full hour of AEW. I try to watch it on the phone. It's just hard because of reception. Even though I changed my phone plan and I have a really good signal, my route of travel, there's pockets of just no reception in terms of, you know, internet on your phone. So, you know, fun, you know. The highlight of the night was, of course, besides the announcement that FTR had defeated the Guns in a career versus titles match, which I called. There's no way FTR's losing that. I mean, their contracts were up. That obviously means they're going to resign, but they're going to resign, and the Guns will probably get relegated to, like, Ring of Honor. So they're not leaving the business. They're unpolished. They're still a little raw. Dare I say green? But they're not really green. They can hold their own. So that's pretty much what's been going on with pro wrestling this week. You know, what I could tell you is I'm really excited for SmackDown tonight, and I want this, like I said before in the previous segment, I want this to culminate to something good. So let's keep a positive vibe. We got a lot of cool shit coming up, man. There's a lot of fun stuff in wrestling. Turnbuckle Throwbacks is not going anywhere. We'll try to keep you honest, keep me honest by giving you good content, and we're going to continue to give you the old school like none of. I just closed a deal last weekend. We're going to have a special guest, and I unearthed a couple of WWF cards from the early 90s that we never covered on a throwback. So a friend of ours wants to make a hot tag and throw his hat into the ring, the proverbial podcasting ring, if you will. So we'll do that. And so there's not much else going on. I don't have a throwback this week, so I'm going to call it a day. And I hope you guys enjoyed all the new plugs. Let's I haven't played the outro in a while. Let's play the outro, shall we? All right. You know all the social media handles. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com is up. If not, go to, every single podcast outlet we have the show on now. So go get it, including Apple and Amazon and Spotify. Everybody has it, okay? Everybody has it. So please go get it. ProWrestlingTees.com. Go buy a shirt. I love you guys. Have a good rest of your week. Please take care of yourself, each other. Avoid the clap. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Happy spring. Happy life. Be fucking happy. Watch more wrestling. And please, more importantly, don't be a jerk off. Good night, Gracie.